Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep.
All right, fam. Today, we're diving deep into something super crucial for your patients and your shelf exam, electrolytes, specifically potassium. This isn't just about random numbers on a lab report. Potassium imbalance can be straight up life-threatening if you miss it. We're talking about everything from GI losses that tank your potassium to kidney issues that send it soaring. Let's get into it and make sure you ace those shelf questions.
You got it, Mars. Potassium is an essential intracellular cation, super important for nerve impulses, muscle contraction, and maintaining normal heart rhythm. Derangements are no joke, and they often pop up in post-op or critically ill patients. We're going to break down both hypokalemia and hyperkalemia, hitting those high-yield points and common shelf traps.
Let's kick it off with hypokalemia. When your serum potassium dips below 3.5, you're in the hypokalemia zone.
First up, the classic hypokalemia from GI losses like vomiting and G-tube suction or diarrhea. You'll often see a post-op patient with an NG tube for suction, maybe some ileus, and they're feeling weak. The EKG on these patients might show U waves. That's a key visual for the exam, so don't forget it.
Diagnosis is straightforward. Potassium below 3.5 and usually a metabolic alkalosis. If it's truly from GI loss, their urine potassium will be low because the kidneys are trying to hold on to it. Here's a high-yield pearl. Vomiting or NG suction often leads to chloride-responsive metabolic alkalosis, so you gotta give normal saline to help correct it.
Treatment is IV or oral potassium chloride. But here's the caveat. If magnesium is low, your potassium replacement won't work until you fix that hypomagnesemia first. Low magnesium increases distal potassium wasting by affecting sodium-potassium ATPase and RMK channels in the kidney.
Chris, what's that classic EKG finding for hypokalemia from GI losses?
U waves, my friend. U waves.
Next up is Kahn syndrome, or primary aldosterone hyperaldosteronism.
Classic presentation is a middle-aged adult with hypertension, hypokalemia, and metabolic alkalosis. Workup shows low renin and high aldosterone. That's the big lab giveaway. The pathophysiology is that excess aldosterone increases renal potassium wasting and sodium retention.
Confirmation often involves a saline suppression test and adrenal imaging.
Treatment, if it's unilateral, do a unilateral mass, then adrenalectomy. If bilateral, manage medically with spironolactone or eplerenone, which are mineral corticoid receptor antagonists that help excrete sodium and retain potassium. Screen for this in resistant hypertension, especially with low potassium, and always correct potassium before surgery to prevent arrhythmias.
Next, hypokalemia from hypomagnesemia.
Classic presentation is a chronic alcoholic with muscle weakness, a prolonged QT interval, and hypokalemia that won't correct. Both magnesium and potassium are low.
Treat by replacing magnesium first, then potassium. Always check magnesium in any patient with hypokalemia. Low magnesium increases distal potassium secretion, making it impossible to fix the potassium alone.
Mars, if potassium won't budge no matter how much you give, what should you check first?
Magnesium, no cap.
Let's flip to hyperkalemia. Anything over 5.5 is hyperkalemia and can be emergent.
First, hyperkalemia from renal failure. Think CKD patient with fatigue, weakness, and peak T waves on EKG.
Treatment. If there are EKG changes, first stabilize the heart with IV calcium gluconate. Then shift potassium into cells with insulin and D50, albuterol, or bicarbonate if acidotic. Finally, remove potassium with loop diuretics, sodium polystyrene sulfonate, PAT-turmer, or dialysis.
Always treat EKG changes first. Chris, what's the first critical step with hyperkalemia and EKG changes?
IV calcium gluconate to stabilize the heart.
Next, hyperkalemia from rhabdomyolysis, crush injury, or burns.
Imagine a trauma patient with dark urine that's heme positive but no red blood cells. That's myoglobinuria. Potassium is 6.5, CK over 10,000. Treat with aggressive IV fluids, manage hyperkalemia, and consider dialysis if needed.
Here's a lethal trap. Avoid succinylcholine. The upregulation of extrajunctional acetylcholine receptors can cause a massive potassium spike and fatal arrhythmia. You need to know this because this trauma patient may need to get emergency surgery, so avoid the depolarizing agent succinylcholine.
Mars, what med is a no-go for burn and crush patients?
Succinylcholine.
Next is hyperkalemia from adrenal insufficiency. This patient has hypotension, hyperpigmentation, low sodium, high potassium, and metabolic acidosis.
Labs show low morning cortisol and high ACTH in primary adrenal insufficiency. Treat with hydrocortisone and fluids, then manage potassium.
Remember, high potassium is adrenal insufficiency from low aldosterone. Low potassium is Kahn syndrome from high aldosterone.
Next is pseudohyperkalemia, often from hemolyzed blood samples. Imagine a perfectly healthy patient with a lab value that doesn't make sense.
Rule it out by repeating a plasma potassium before treatment. Don't treat lab artifact. Now, tumor lysis syndrome, leukemia or lymphoma patient after chemo with potassium 7, high phosphate, high uric acid, low calcium, and acute kidney injury.
Treat with fluids, riburicase for uric acid, and follow the hyperkalemia protocol. Prevention in high-risk patients includes aggressive hydration and allopurinol or riburicase before chemo.
Now some cross-cutting potassium exam clues. Hyperkalemia EKG changes include peaked T waves, loss of P waves, wide QRS, sine wave. Hypokalemia EKG changes include flattened T waves, U waves, ST depression, long QT.
Guaranteed to see EKG changes on the boards.
All right, that was a lot.
Now, five high-yield facts to wrap up this episode.
1. Always check magnesium in potassium disorders. If hypokalemia does not improve, you may need to give magnesium.
2. Hypokalemia is the most common electrolyte abnormality in ileus.
3. Hyperkalemia with EKG changes, such as peak T waves, first give IV calcium gluconate first.
4. Avoid succinylcholine in crush and burn patients. This depolarizing agent can lead to dangerously high potassium levels.
And 5. Tumor lysis syndrome has hyperkalemia, hyperphosphatemia, hypocalcemia, and high uric acid levels.
Keep studying. We'll see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later!